opportunity to talk about protest.
Welcome to the committee, and we thank you very much for coming to speak with us today. We have a series of seven questions. We'll start with your opening statement, and then we'll have questions, and particular board members have their special interests, and they would like to ask some questions after that. You'll have an opportunity to ask questions of us, and then a closing statement, 2 to 3 minutes, and we're trying to do this in about 40 minutes. So we're ready for your opening statement when you're ready.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me to discuss the opportunity to get on the board of trustees of Ministerial State Colleges and University System. My name, as I've been introduced already, is Fred Adia. I was born originally in Ghana. I came to the United States in 1979 as a student into the College of Charleston in Charleston, South Carolina. I graduated from the College of Charleston in 1983 with an Urban Studies degree. For that, I worked as a department store manager in New York. I also worked as a parking garage manager for Metropolitan Museum, Brooklyn Hospital, and later on Ford Theater in Washington, D.C. And that's when I decided it's time to go back to school, and I decided to leave the East Coast because I've heard so much about Minnesota at the time, but I've never been here. So I came to Hamline University School of Law in 1985, and I have not left since. I graduated in 1988 from Hamline, took a job as Assistant Attorney General in the United States Virgin Islands in the Justice Department, stayed there for about 2 years. Then my wife is from Minnesota, who I met from in law school here in Minnesota, so I had to come back. So I came back, and I have been here since, practicing in the private practice, doing mostly workers' compensation, employment discrimination in some situations. I've also done a lot of immigration law. Along the way, I've also had a company that manufactures canned goods. Mostly, we manufactured it in Brazil and shipped it into West Africa. I started that in 1999. I have two children, and when you have children, their future becomes very important, and you see the state you're in and wonderful state of Minnesota, and you realize that the educational institutions where your children and everybody to have a better life will be in the university system is a very important aspect of it, and that is why I'm drawn to doing or helping to make the system better, and that's why my interest in becoming a board member of MinSCU comes in.
Thank you very much. Can you please describe your understanding of the role of a trustee and why you consider yourself a good candidate?
The role of a trustee, my understanding is help run. There's a chancellor. My understanding is, and every school has a president, and the trustees are the overseers, or help pick the president, help pick the chancellor, and oversee set policy, budget, and overall administration. They do not micromanage, I believe, in the institutions per se, but look over and set the general policy for the schools. That's my understanding of that.
Thank you.
Could you please describe your past board experiences and the relevance it has to the Board of Trustees?
I was in the Virgin Islands. I was the legal counsel for the Coastal Zone Management Board. The Coastal Zone Management Board, if you have an idea of the setup of the island of St. John, for instance, is a major state park. You cannot put hotels on there unless it's been approved by the Department of Environmental. In fact, it's a Washington bureaucratic issue over there. However, the other islands, there's also a lot of uninhabited islands around St. Thomas. And so every hotel development, every condominium development has to come through the Coastal Zone Management Board. And that's when decide environmental assessment and others. So you set policy for the Department of Natural Resources for the island to either approve or deny development projects based on whether it meets environmental, whether it meets the needs of the island to keep the island pristine and to keep the island as good as it could be. And that is, and so in that sense, I believe you set policy, you read, you decide, you set budget, you decide whether the budget being used to build these hotels, whether it's such a big hotel that it will even block people on the other part of the land from seeing the ocean, and all those issues. And it's decision making, it's deliberation, getting along with your members of the board and coming to a good conclusion as to what is in the best interest of the island. And that's why I believe I will be a good board member. Yeah.
Thank you.
I have also been a board member. This is just about the last 2 years on the Minnesota Black Lawyers Association, which I also served as the treasurer. I was board member for 2 years, treasurer for 1 year. And that is also setting policy. We had an annual banquet that is raised funds to award scholarships to students of color who wants to attend law school, and we encourage them. We do mentorship, that we go into schools and try to recruit students to get them, to help them to get into college and get interested in college when they don't have the interest. Sometimes some of them don't have parents who are will be helping, mm-hmm. and that's where we step in as, you know, we pair up as mentorship. As mentors with the students. And that's another thing. My last board assignment was as in the city of Edina as a zoning board of appeals that I was on as a board member, and mostly we dealt with variances of developments in the city of Edina. And that was my last board appointment. And in all these boards, getting along with your members, bringing your own expertise, your personal life, your background, your experiences, and deliberating on it. Decision may be made that you may disagree with, but at the end of the decision, you have to know that you have to go in as one body, even if you disagree with the decision, and you have to agree or basically have a unified front to the public. That's the decision of the board, and it's not the decision of just one member. Yes.
Next question is, what do you see as the key issues on the horizon for higher education in Minnesota and for the MNSCU system in particular?
What I see, considering the economic trend or the economy as it is right now, is affordability. I've always felt that fees, tuition is going higher than what the average person who could afford is making, or their increase in salary is way lagging below the fee increases, and that I see is and I believe the best way and the issues that are going to come up as how to provide the best education at an affordable cost and within reach of everybody. That's what I see. And also perception. The perception has always been, and this is my view, that community colleges, for instance, are for people who are not able to get into four-year colleges. And if that perception could be addressed, it could, because it's a very, very good alternative for education. For a lot of people who cannot afford to go and pay higher fees, they could start out with a community college as a plan rather than something that is, well, you cannot get into 4 years, and that's why you're here, or you did not have the grades. So that perception could be addressed very well. And if those are taken away, I believe the future of the system will be very good. And it's, I believe it's already good. It could be made better.
Thank you.
Next question, and I believe you touched on this a little bit already. Describe your understanding of diversity and your experience working with diverse populations.
My understanding of diversity goes beyond color. It goes ethnicity. It goes north, south, east, and west. I believe if you're looking for a diverse body of students, you're not just looking for students of color too, and then you are saying, oh, I have a diverse, somebody from the Iron Range is a diverse person and brings something to the table in terms of train of thought, in terms of how they look at issues, and in that sense enriches everybody's experience. So my diversity is the blind is a diverse person. Every group of people is not just limited to color or ethnicity. That's my understanding.
Okay, the next question is, what is your vision for maximizing access to educational opportunities for students?
My vision for maximizing education for students is I believe that affordability is one, accessibility is one, and providing courses that directly addresses the needs of the community, courses that immediately could be put to use. There's issues where a person cannot get a four-year degree or two-year degree, but wants to immediately address his family's economic situation by going in and learning how to be a welder and get a certificate. And immediately, within about 6 months or a year, hopefully is able to get a good employment and a good salary, and that is how I look at that.
Thank you. Next question is, please describe the unique challenges of a system comprised of technical community and colleges and state universities.
The unique challenges is syncing all aspects of the system to be on the same level in terms of funding, in terms of accessibility, and in terms of in terms of all of them being in the same level of providing the best education that could be given at the most or at the least cost. And that I believe has always been the challenge of the technical. And there are some people who go into the school for 4 year degrees or 2 year degrees with the aspiration of, as I said, going higher or going into medical school. And then there are some people who goes into the system to just get a 2 year degree to be a registered nurse, or getting a 4 months or for a month degree to be an RN. No, I'm sorry, a CNA, to be able to work in a nursing home or a hospital. So it's to balance all those requirements and also makes everybody feel like they are in a, instead of getting some resources to other people and not getting some resources to a group of people who are just are not thought of as just passing through. I believe those are very, very important.
And the last question from our list, what could be perceived as a conflict of interest for you in a trustee role, and how would you handle the situation?
I believe whenever there's any subject that you have an interest in, that you have a friend who has an interest in, a family member who has an interest in, there is a conflict. And the most important thing is immediately make that conflict known. Anything that you view as and gives the appearance of impropriety is always the words I use. Even the appearance, it might not be even a conflict, but even if it gives that appearance of impropriety, you should basically, a bell should ring in your mind to immediately inform board members as to that likely conflict, and immediately whether is there's the need to recuse yourself from any discussion on that subject, and if the board feels that you should be excused from that, yes.
Thank you. And are there questions from members of the council? Yes, Tim.
Can you talk a little bit more specifically on why you're interested specifically in the Minsky Board of Trustees? So what about the Minsky system is really driving kind of your passion to say, I want to be involved in this board?
I have actually one of the boards that I have been encouraged to also apply to is a Council on Black Minnesotans. It's a board that I have been asked a number of times to apply to. I believe part of the reason I'm interested in the Minsky board is a system that practically serves about 157,000 students, full-time students. And 179,500 non-credit students serves about 600 employers in the state. It's a vital institution. In fact, it's probably the most the school systems in or the university system in Minnesota. There's the private colleges, and then of course there's the University of Minnesota, and then there's the Minsky. I believe the Minsky probably as more, to me, is more important and provides services and education that directly affects the state of Minnesota and its economy and its people, probably more than any other institution. And that is not to say the other institutions are not. And that is why I'm interested to serve. And it, my interest in the board, and I feel that's probably also my background in education and experiences, I probably will be better suited on the board of trustees of Minsky.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Sonia,
you did talk about the importance of diversity, and you alluded to that it's more than just color.
Yes.
Coming to the Minsky board, what are the assets that we do not have right now on the Minsky board that you feel you will bring to the board, not only as being a person of color, but what other assets do you think you will bring to the board that no one else will be bringing to the board?
I believe a lot of people bring a lot, but I feel I bring a unique background. I bring a unique perspective to discussions that partly because of where I've lived, where I grew up. I grew up up until 19 years in Ghana. I have traveled tremendously on business to China, to Brazil, to a whole lot of different countries. I am very, very familiar with different educational systems. I have been a foreign student on a campus. I have been an American citizen on a campus where you're not considered. So I have been almost everything that a student. I have been in a graduate student. I've been an undergraduate student on a campus, and I believe it's a unique experience that I will bring to a board that other members may not have the same.
Thank you.
Yes. And what is your understanding of the role of Title IX within the Minsky system?
If I'm not mistaken, Title IX being in terms of basically men's and women, is it related to men's and women's athletics?
Yeah.
Or men's and women's inclusion? It's equal access. That's my understanding of it. It's equal access that everybody should be treated equally, whether you're a woman or a man, that you should have access to the same athletic facilities or the same facilities like everybody else. That's my understanding of it.
Thank you.
Yes, are there other questions? Okay. Now it's... Oh, I'm sorry, Tim.
In one of your earlier comments, you talked about the affordability piece in the fees and tuition. Do you have any specific ideas or recommendations on what can be done there to help moderate those increases or to deal with some of the costs in the system?
It's normally one of the issues of affordability. In the first place we look at is cost, to cutting costs to create. But then we also probably look at increasing funding not particularly just from the legislature, as in this case would be one part of it, but from private funding. I realize that the system has a foundation, and that the foundation could be probably put to use more. I believe alumni should be tracked very, in a way that it's not overbearing, but basically encouraged to contribute if they can. So those are all ways of helping. I attended college on a foundation scholarship, College of Charleston Foundation Scholarship, and I saw how important that was. It was an arm of the college that nobody knew about or nobody talked about, but played a very crucial role. And I was not the only one that. And I believe the foundation and private sources could be tapped tremendously through alumni.
All right, I guess it's time for you now to turn the tables on us and ask any questions you may have.
I don't have a lot of questions. I just want to know how many people are being interviewed and how many people are being considered and what's the backgrounds of most people who are being considered.
Well, I believe that is public information now, and I can tell you that we are interviewing 15 people. This is an advisory board, a council, which means that we give recommendations 2 to 4 for the 4 openings to the governor of the state.
Okay.
And then the governor may choose our recommendations or may choose to go outside our recommendations. He has told us that he would like to have our recommendations before July 1st, which is when the term of the current trustees, their 6-year term, is going to expire. So we have a very short timeline.
There was a question, a lot of questions on the diversity, and if I may, in terms of the recruitment, how, if you, I don't know whether this board or this group knows about it as to how recruitment is done within the system?
Well, within the system?
System, yes.
Okay, would anybody like to address? Well, we are a public institution. MNSCU does have an executive director of diversity, Whitney Harris. It's been a long-established plan. Most of the institutions do have and have implemented diversity plans. In terms of recruitment, you know, the 2 years are open access, so there is no real criteria and going out to recruit different people for education. I really can't speak directly about how they recruit. They do have, of course, some scholarships along the lines, but not. I'm not aware of any absolute recruiting.
Mr. Adia, I can speak to that. In our College of Admissions, where I'm also housed, we have a very diverse group of representatives for groups, Asian representative, African American. I represent STEM initiatives and STEM recruitment. And we have Native American persons that go out to different communities and set up programs. We have a program called Dare to Dream, and we have scholarship monies as well. And and we have all kinds of activities going to recruit underrepresented students as well.
And if you were referencing in recruitment for the Board of Trustees, we sent it out to all of the news media places, but we do have people within this council who specifically, as myself, reached out to certain populations. You were talking about the Council on Black Minnesotans, and I served on the Chicano Latino Affairs Council. I specifically sent out the application link and information to those councils to try to recruit people from those councils and ask those leaders of the state to please send out to other diverse groups so that we could find applications. We didn't get a lot of applications of, I would say, people of color, but we do reach out to try to recruit for the MNSCU board to specifically bring diversity to that board.
Excuse me, I didn't know. I thought you were talking about students.
Well, I wasn't sure which one he spoke to either, so I was reaching out both.
But I do have a list of people that I'm updating for this group, and I did send out to the spokesman recorder, to Charles Hallman, and asked him to forward this information to others. But an effort has been made to get to those groups, and I'm also very familiar with the Black Council of Minnesota's as well as the Hispanic, because we have people at our university who represent on these councils. And I pass that information along to them as well.
Both answers are pretty much answer the question. Yeah, I don't have any more questions.
Yes, and also we did benefit from hearing from Chancellor Rosenstone, who made a specific request of us to try and recruit and increase diversity on the board at this time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Would you like to ask the time commitment question, please?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I have been showing people right now there are 9 meetings scheduled. There are at the Board of Trustees. That's the schedule. They are 2-day meetings. And this is the packet that trustees receive. And some of it is double-sided. It's about the committee work they've done. It is a considerable commitment, and people do make pretty substantial time sacrifices. And given that you have your firm, you stated you felt you'd be able to do this, but I just want everybody to be aware of how time-consuming this is.
Yes, I'm pretty much aware and, of the time constraints and the time required to serve on a board, any board, for that matter, a board as big as this and as with a wide range of responsibilities like this. The fortunate part is I pretty much run my own practice that I have done for the last couple of years, and I have my own time and can make a lot of time when there's the need for so that it will not be a problem in terms of allocating time to do board duties.
Thank you very much. If there are no more comments, we'd like to give you an opportunity to close with 2 or 3 minutes of remarks.
First of all, thank you for the opportunity to come and discuss the position of all being on the board of Minsfield. I consider it a privilege to serve on any board, for that matter, and it is more so when the primary goal of that board is the education and the economic vitality of the state through its colleges and university system. I believe my background, education, and experience could be put to use on the Minsfield board, and I will be honored to serve if I'm given the privilege. And I thank you very much for the opportunity once again.
Thank you for coming and speaking with us.